T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The one thing that's consistent is they're very good in the front seven. Their front four is very aggressive. Jim Schwartz has always been that way. Very penetrating type defense. Their linebackers have great speed. I think they're playing very well in the secondary. Some different coverages maybe than what we saw last year, but for the most part, similar. And they've had a great season. I mean, they've played extremely well. It's going to be a good challenge for us on Saturday.
All right, Matt Ryan talking about what he and our Falcons are going to be going up against. One of the top front sevens in all of football, one of the best D-lines in the game. The stats say the best run defense in the NFL were the Philadelphia Eagles at about 80 yards per game. 7 rushing touchdowns allowed all year. Yeah. Rick and John talking Falcons right now. Our NFL bounce is next. And, John, as a part of the NFL bounce, I want to, and then about 20 minutes from now, I want to prove to people that Steve Sarkisian matters. Mm-hmm. I've already heard a lot of people, good riddance, see ya, he sucks, I don't want him, I don't care. I've heard a lot of that. I think that's a garbage take. And in 20 minutes, John, I'm going to prove comprehensively that Steve Sarkisian matters. And I'm going to open up a lot of eyes with that. That's 20 minutes from now. Now, let's break down matchups. Where do the Falcons have matchup advantages over the Eagles? John, I have come up with one matchup advantage for the Eagles over our Falcons.
Okay.
One.
Where is that?
Their defensive line. Yeah. Our offensive line. And I'm not saying it's game over and we can't, but they have the advantage. Mm-hmm. Their defensive line is better than our offensive line. It's fact. You know, you talk about Fletcher Cox. You talk about Brandon Graham. You talk about the big boys in the middle and on the outside. They're just terrific on that front four. One of the best in football. Fletcher Cox is one of the, what do you think, John? At least the top 20 defensive player in all the NFL?
Absolutely. He's probably one of the top 3 or 4 defensive tackles in all the NFL. Now, we may have gone up against the best one in all of football last week in Aaron Donald. There were moments where the Falcons flat out could not block Aaron Donald. He was single-handedly destroying everything that they were trying to do up front. But look at the depth right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. People forget about Timmy Jernigan, a kid who was a Florida State stud who gets in the league and has done a really good job at defensive tackle. So now you have not one but 2 really good D tackles. So it reminds you of Carolina, but probably more, not even probably, but more explosive as far as the 2 defensive tackles go. Then you look at the ends. Brandon Graham can get after the passer, no doubt about it. Vinnie Curry, a solid pass rusher as well. And then depth, they throw in Chris Long, a guy who gave us some issues a year ago in the Super Bowl. I know he's long in the tooth. No pun intended there, but Chris Long is still a guy that in scenarios you have to account for. That's 6 or 7 guys you absolutely have to look for if you're the Atlanta Falcons going against Philadelphia.
No doubt about it, man. And, you know, we know the front line, the front four that you mentioned. Then, oh, yeah, they got Chris Long. Oh, my God, they have Derek Burnett out of Tennessee. You know, top 15 pick in the draft. So they've done a great job of building this defense. Now, enough about Philadelphia. This is where our Falcons have advantages over the Eagles.
Okay.
Matt Ryan against Philadelphia's defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
Check. Atlanta's defensive backs against Nick Foles.
Yes, but throw in who they have at receiver. I think that is a very good matchup. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Falcons against their receivers.
It's their receiving group. I love them. They were my little team that could. I told y'all Philly was going to be a playoff team before the season began. A lot of you thought I was crazy. But they got Nick Foles, a quarterback. And I like our DBs. I think they have a matchup advantage against him. Julio Jones against Philadelphia's DBs. Whether it's Jalen Mills, whether it's Ronald Darby, who they got in a trade with the Bills, they can't hang with Julio. You're probably going to disagree with this one. But I will take Keanu Neal and Devondre Campbell against Zach Ertz, the Pro Bowl tight end of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, if Carson Wentz were the quarterback, I wouldn't be saying this. But with Nick Foles at quarterback, and Nick Foles has not gotten busy with Zach Ertz. They are not in lockstep like Ertz was with Carson Wentz. I will give Keanu Neal and Devondre Campbell the advantage there.
And in fairness, Ertz had been banged up some when Nick Foles came in. Remember, Trey Burton had a really big game in that scenario. I'm just trying to mentally think back of the tight ends that we played this year. And Greg Olsen historically has been a better tight end. When we played him at the time that we did towards the end of the year, he was still not in sync with Cam Newton. Had a great playoff game, but was not in sync with Cam Newton in week 17. Ertz is probably the best tight end we've played all year long. And again, I'm trying to just go through the mental Rolodex of tight ends. Jimmy Graham did not have a great year this year.
Was Gronk? Yeah, he did, yeah. Actually. He had a great touchdown year. Not a great yardage year, but I think he had 10 receiving touchdowns.
But he wasn't a guy that was going to go out and get you the New Orleans numbers, the 90 catch. Gronk did play. So Gronk's the best guy we've gone against. And then it's Ertz. The Falcons, though, have done a very good job, especially compared to historical rankings, against the tight end this year. I'm not going to go with you. I think that is at best a push for the Falcons. Zach Ertz is a special guy. Again, if Wentz was there, it would be absolute advantage Philadelphia for me. I'll go push in that scenario, but I think that's one the Falcons better pay attention to him.
Two more, and we're going to take calls here, and John's going to give you some matchup advantages that he has spotted for our Falcons against the Eagles on Saturday afternoon. You're going to hear it right here on the home of the Falcons, the kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Jake Elliott. Jake Elliott was on every one of my fantasy football teams because he's a rock star. Remember the 61-yarder he hit against the Giants early in the season? He's a really good kicker, but he has not been in a playoff game, John, and we have Matt Bryant, advantage Falcons. Head coaching, Dan Quinn has been through this fire before. He has been through this ringer before. Doug Peterson has not. We saw last week you had a 31-year-old head coach who, to me, is the NFL coach of the year. He was a deer in headlights in that game. He choked on a couple of big-time decisions. 8 seconds left in the first half, not taking a shot, settling for the field goal. And in the second half, he made a blunder as well, and it's escaping me right now. Oh, it was the third and 14, down 9 in the fourth quarter, and you come up with a run to Malcolm Brown. The stupidest personnel slash play call of the year. And so Doug Peterson is much like Sean McVay in terms of he's a coach of the year candidate. He's a young, well, he's not that young, but he's sort of this up-and-coming hot shot offensive coordinator turned head coach, but he's never been a head coach of a playoff game. And Dan Quinn has, advantage Falcons.
Let's go through some of these, Rick, and I want to know if you agree or disagree. And I'm going to start like surface value and kind of dive a little bit deeper into this. Falcons offense against Philadelphia's defense, I give the edge to the Eagles.
I mean, just like unit for unit.
Yep.
I'm push slash Falcons on that one.
Okay.
I really am.
Falcons defense versus Eagles offense. I give the Falcons the special team or the edge.
I don't even waffle on that one. That's advantage Falcons.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if Carson Wentz is in there, it's probably advantage Eagles.
If Carson Wentz is playing in this game, I don't think the Falcons win this football game. I got to call it like I see it. Carson Wentz, y'all, was the MVP of the National Football League before getting hurt.
Special teams as a group, I will give the advantage to the Falcons, especially coming off the performance they just had. Although, if you break it down, our punter's better, our kicker's better, their return guy in Kenyon Barner is better, but I think our group as a whole will be a better group there.
John, I want you to cue up your sound effect for the shock collar. Remember the Jim Johnson shock collar? Okay, so it's queued up. All right, Mark Owens, I'd like you to pay attention to this
button,
a little bit.
The hand on the
all
button.
Right, let's play a new game here.
Okay.
It's called Andre Roberts shock collar.
Okay.
Okay, John, Jake Elliott boots the ball, hopefully off a field goal, not a touchdown. And,
or the opening kickoff.
And Andre Roberts catches the ball 5 yards deep in the end zone. All right, so another field goal here by Philadelphia. They kick off. This time the ball is 3 yards deep in the end zone. Andre Roberts catches it. Andre Roberts, you are killing me. Take a knee and take the ball at the 25-yard line.
He caught one last week, I believe.
Killing me.
Either a yard deep or a yard out and got tackled at the 8.
Stop it. Keith Armstrong, it's on you at this point. Can Keith Armstrong please put a shock collar on Andre Roberts? I'm serious right now. This is not sarcasm. This is not sardonicism. This is me.
It's not Sarkeesian.
I am upset about Andre Roberts.
Who's shock?
It's awful.
Whose shock collar was better? The call to the bullpen when they wanted Jim Johnson to come in or Andre Roberts coming out of the end zone?
Well, because the Braves season barely mattered.
Yeah.
Sorry, Grant McCauley. I mean, in terms of relevancy and playoffs and all that. Falcons.
Yeah.
Andre Roberts.
Yeah,
stop bringing the ball out of the end zone.
But then the bad thing is he'll actually have a good return, and then there's a block in the back.
Dude, look, on a punt, knock yourself out. You don't want a fair catch. You want to be, you know, rebellious and
Here's what I do want. When the ball's about to land at about the 9, how about catch the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Stop letting it bounce.
Okay, so anyway, continue. Right. I had to get that off my chest.
All right, let's dive into a couple of these more deep. Matt Ryan versus the Eagles defense.
I mean, in terms of, you know, there's layers of the defense mm-hmm. against that front. Look, I'm betting on Matt Ryan. That dude is locked in. He's on a roll. He's on a mission. He's on a redemption tour.
Yeah.
You know, it may not look that way on paper based on what Matt Ryan's done statistically and what Philly's done statistically. I'll take Ryan.
Listen to this grouping. Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, Austin Hooper against Nigel Bradham, Michael Kendricks, and Danelle Ellerbe.
I'll take our guys.
I will as well. But those guys are good. Now, right now, Danelle Ellerbe's got a hamstring. He had limited practice. He is questionable for the game against the Falcons on Saturday afternoon. Bradham and Kendricks can play, though. Those guys can run, and they can tackle. It's going to be a fun matchup.
No doubt about it. But I will take our guys. And it's not about Hooper. Trust me. I'm over Austin Hooper. Can he please be our backup tight end next year?
Please.
Please.
I don't want to think about next year. Let's just get
saying.
This.
I had to take the
all right. How about this
provoked
one?
Austin Hooper shot.
I am not even going to try to say their left tackle's name because the left tackle they normally have is out.
Vaitai.
Yeah, Vaitai. His first. Can you say his first name?
No. Don't even want to.
Wow.
It's an eye chart.
Yeah, there's a lot of letters involved in that one. Then there's Wisniewski, Kelsey, Brooks, Johnson
mm-hmm.
against our front four.
I'll take our front four, and if their left tackle was healthy, I may have a different answer for mm-hmm. you. Up the middle, they're fantastic. Kelsey is one of the best centers in football.
Yep.
Super smart, super athletic. He's
Lane
great.
Johnson might be the best right tackle in football.
Lane Johnson, a high draft pick. It was a slow start to his career. Mm-hmm. Now it's rolling. But I love our guys. I love our rotation. We talk about how deep the Philadelphia defensive line is. Mm-hmm. Our defensive line is maybe even deeper than theirs. It may be not a star-studded, but it may be deeper. You know, you're coming off with Tack McKinley.
Right. And Vic Beasley.
You're coming off with Brooks Reed.
And Adrian Claiborne.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And you've obviously got, look, they got power pigs in the middle.
Yeah.
We got power pigs in the middle. Poe and Jarrett, baby. They're power pigs.
I love that.
They are. They're power pigs.
Can
we
get some
huge,
t-shirts
monstrous
made?
Men that they're power pigs.
I
don't mean any disrespect by that. They are power pigs in the middle of the line.
I've never heard that one before. That one's new. Let's take a call or two, 404-741-0929. Where do you feel the Falcons have advantages over the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll go to Daniel in Decatur to lead us off on 92.9 The Game. Daniel, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this year?
Doing good.
All right, and feel free to use a shot caller on me if you disagree what I say, please, but just hear me out.
All right.
I think we have an advantage over them
as far as their defensive
line and their linebackers when it comes to Freeman and Coleman playing out of the backfield, not running it out of the backfield, but playing out of the backfield, barring if we can get Tia Lolo in there to help block on Garland's side, and we can get Hooper, and we can get Gabriel going from the sideline. I'm just being honest. This is just from what I've seen.
Yeah,
What do you want from Hooper and Gabriel? Like what you said, get him going from the sideline. What does that mean,
so
Daniel?
Basically, what I'm saying is we're so interested in what the national media says and what the numbers say from Philadelphia's end about them rushing the quarterback. Okay, so say they rush, but they forget to account for one of those players. But also remember, too, that we've had Poe playing a lot of fullback. So if we can get a certified blocker in there, which is where I bring in Tia Lolo because he's done good blocker from the line, but we need more help on Garland's side right now because he seems to just not be getting it for me right now as far as the first line goes. But as far as getting Cooper and Gabriel going, with them rushing, the middle of the field is going to be wide open. And I say we take advantage of it.
One of the things, appreciate the call, Arch talked about this. If you ever watch Philly, they play the wide nine, a lot of wide nine defense, and they'll try to keep everything inside. I think Garland has actually played pretty well. Schweitzer's had his moments where he's been pushed around, and you're going to need the three guys in the middle to really handle the two that are there. What they've done to account for extra blocking, a lot of times is put Ty Sambrello in as the extra blocker. They put him tight end eligible. You know you're not throwing the ball to Ty Sambrello, so when he comes in.
Or maybe you are. Remember the stupidest play call of the year? Let's get him in play action. Give me a break. Hopefully they ripped that page out of the playbook.
There's some funny power.
I forget what game that was. That Buffalo or Miami or one of those stupid games?
They tried to. They had Dontari Poe in, and they tried to run play action. The first read was Poe,
and the second read was Sombrello in the back of the end zone. Am I right?
Somebody accounted for Poe, and I don't think his hip swivel was well enough to run that quick out and kind of give him the jab step in to make the linebacker think he was going. So, yeah, Poe was covered. And then Ryan, instead of getting sacked, tried to throw into the back of the end to Ty Sombrello, which was hilarious. Had Sombrello caught that, that may have been the moment of the year.
Hey, you want to talk about defensive linemen and hip swivel? For real. How about the hip swivel by Daron Payne on the touchdown catch in the side of the end zone in the Alabama-Clemson game?
Yeah, he had
Are you kidding
swivel.
Me? Dude, a big man like a power pig like that should not be able to have the feet of a ballerina. Give me a break.
Yeah, he was swivelly. Let's go. Well, we'll take a call when we get back.
How dare
from break.
You play the break music?
I know.
We
what
were rolling.
I know, dude. I didn't even realize it was break time. Hey, you can join us this Saturday starting at noon at Arena Tavern in Duluth for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The guys will break down the playoff matchup versus Philadelphia and discuss the week's biggest headlines. Again, that's noon, Arena Tavern in Duluth for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We'll come back. We'll do an NFL bounce and continue the conversation where the Falcons have an advantage over the Eagles next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the NFL Bounce for Kamla. John Michaels on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And your wait is almost over. We're going to get to Chris, we're going to get to Mike, and then I'm going to prove to all of you naysayers that Steve Sarkisian does matter, and he is important. Okay, that's about 3 or 4 minutes from now. Chris in College Park, let's bring you in here. You heard me and John talking about where we think the Falcons have mismatch advantages over the Eagles. What says you?
What's going on, John and Rick, M.O. and Bibalicious? Love the show. And to get right to it, guys, I think that the defense has an advantage over the offense, but this goes straight to you, Ricky Buckets, and I'm full Kamala. You are causing me anxiety by throwing so much shade to Nick Foles, proven NFL starter, career-winning record, former Pro Bowler, 87% QBR. He's not going to be scared by the moment. And Peterson's got 2 weeks for him to prepare. I just think that I hope we don't overlook him and think that he's some bum like Peterman of the Buffalo Bills as a backup. I just hope that the defense is prepared and do what they need to do. But Foles is kind of scary to me, and I'll wrap it up with this. I feel the same way about Foles as I do about Matt Schaub. If Matty Ice was to go down, I think Schaub, with all of our teams healthy, could get us to the ball. Keep doing what you guys doing. Love the show.
Thanks, Chris. I get where you're going with this because it seems like this year every time that we have kind of downplayed somebody, Jay Cutler, me with Tyrod Taylor, they've come back to bite us in the rear end, Case Keenum. This is a different time for the Falcons for me. There seems to be an edge and a focus that really started when they realized if we lose another football game, we're not making the playoffs. And they even lost a game and still were able to make the playoffs. But they went 7-2 down the stretch, including last week's game. 6-2 regular season, 1-0 in the postseason. Falcons are playing some good football. Foles is capable. I will tell you that much. If he's hot, Nick Foles, you know, he's a guy that can go out there and get the job done. We saw it a couple of years ago. He was 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I still think that's an anomaly for his career. He's never been that. There's a reason he hadn't been a starter until Carson Wentz got hurt.
Okay, and I really appreciate that call. That was Chris, right?
Yeah, it was Chris.
And Chris, I like the Bibalicious reference, the Ricky Buckets reference. That was dope. That was awesome. And we appreciate you being a big fan of the show. I have never said that Nick Foles sucks. I have never guaranteed a Falcon win. And I do know that Nick Foles was a Pro Bowler with a 27-2 touchdown to interception ratio, which I believe still stands as the best in NFL history. But that was several years ago. That was with Chip Kelly. And this is with Doug Peterson. And Nick Foles, and by the way, and I said this again, and I want to bring this back for Chris and for everybody else. If our Falcons defense sucked, I would not be saying any of this, okay? But we have a rock star defense. And it's a backup quarterback. I just like how that computes. Mm-hmm. Now, the 3 games that Nick Foles has played, you remember there was the game against the Giants. It was a thriller.
Yeah.
At MetLife. 34-29 was the final. And here's Nick Foles' line. And by the way, Nick Foles got off to a slow start in this game and then got hot. 24 of 38, 4 touchdowns. Okay? Awesome game. Threw for 237 yards. Then the next week. Final regular season game of the year, playing the Raiders. I believe Christmas night, actually. Okay, 19-10 win for Philly. They should have beaten Oakland by way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles, 19 of 38, 50% against the Raiders, who had given up. Nick Foles threw for 163 yards in that football game. One touchdown, one interception. All right, then let's go to a completely meaningless game against the Dallas Cowboys, a game in which the Eagles did not score a point. Nick Foles, 4 of 11, 39 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Something named Nate Sudfeld had to take over for Nick Foles.
Indiana quarterback.
In that game. So I'm just saying, Nick Foles has gotten progressively worse in all three games that he has played for Philadelphia. That gives me confidence.
Here's DQ talking about playing in the city of brotherly love.
Yes, I would think so. Last week was a good environment for sure. You could feel the energy for the game and first postseason game for there. But, yeah, this one for sure is closer. And I'm not going to say more passionate, but I would say more northeast.
That is a very politically correct way of saying that, because they are definitely more passionate than L.A. fans.
You think? It's not even close. I love me some California. Mm-hmm. I don't love me some Philadelphia. The fans are way more brutal and passionate and into it in Philadelphia. Way more. You tell me, though. You were on the field of the Coliseum Saturday night. Give me a vibe of the crowd.
It was loud. I'm not going to lie. Like, it filled in much better than it. When we were there a year ago, it was half Falcon fans. There was a nice group of Rams fans there. It was loud. You know, they had their rally towels, and they had Tone Loc and Snoop Dogg and, you know, every celebrity they could find and all the old Rams from the 79 Super Bowl team and all that stuff. But it's not going to be anywhere close to what Philadelphia does.
I thought Snoop was a Raiders fan. Or a Steelers
or
fan.
Or a Seahawks fan, because he's performed for the Heat. Dude, it's wherever the paycheck comes.
Is he a poor man's Drake that way?
No.
He ain't poor.
No.
Well, you know what I'm saying. No. But you know how Drake is just the biggest front runner in sports?
Yeah.
The number one front runner.
Snoop sticks to the West Coast, other than the Steelers maybe. But Drake is like, I like Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, and Kansas basketball. Well, there you go. And I'll throw in Michigan State when they're good.
You forgot Gonzaga.
Yeah, I did forget the Zags.
Let's go to Mike in Lithonia, man, and then I got to hit you with this Sark take. Mike, John and I are talking about matchup advantages for our Falcons against the Eagles. Where are you at with that?
Hey, man, well, thanks for having me. I'll say, one, I know they have a pretty good offensive line, but I'll take our defensive line. I think our front four will get them, even though they have Kelsey and Johnson on that line. But we get them in third and long, because the Falcons had something against the Rams that maybe they've done before. I just don't recall it, where they had the three pass rushers. They had Vic, Tack, and Claiborne with Poe in the middle, and they spread them out wide and was getting after Rams quarterback. But I think our defensive line, definitely our running backs over there, linebackers, I'll take all day as well. And then, of course, know the secondary and our wide receivers. We got them there as well. So that's it.
Appreciate the call. They have done that before with four linemen, where they go, I guess it's our version. It's an overused cliche, but it's our version of the NASCAR package, where they put Claiborne, they'll rock him down inside, and you have Tack and Vic on the outside. And then a lot of times it's Grady Jarrett, just to get four guys that can roar up the field and go get the quarterback.
It's our NFL Bounce. And speaking of Tack, I will be wearing my brand new red 98 Tack McKinley jersey tomorrow here in the Kia Studios.
Really?
Very excited about it. You're going to like it. It's like one of the high-end jerseys.
Sure I'll be here tomorrow. Still kind of up in the air.
Understood. We may have Randy Mack in here tomorrow. Okay, then he can bust my stones about wearing a jersey.
Because I have to leave so early. It's like, all right, do I want to come in shortly? And then now the wife is also sick. My son is sick, and now the wife is at home watching my son. She's also sick.
The only pass you'll get from Randy Mack is it won't have your name on the back.
Yeah, good call. He said that last week.
If it says 98 Camlet, that would be awesome.
Randy doesn't agree.
What number would you wear?
If I were 25.
25?
I just like that number.
Okay.
Well, how about you?
The two numbers I wore is either 47 or 7, one or the other. I wore 7 in high school only because they didn't make a 47 at our school. But 47 is the number I've worn pretty much forever.
Michael Irvin?
You better believe it.
Dang right. That's a pretty good pull by me.
That is really good pull.
All right, so here's why Sark matters. And why are you talking about that? Okay, we've had callers call up here, and we love them. That's fine. We're exchanging ideas. Saying, I don't care. Get him out of here. He can go to Seattle. It doesn't matter. We'll start over with a new OC. I mean, that was kind of my reaction to it, too. I want, dial tone. Anyway, here's why Steve Sarkisian matters. The Bears just hired Matt Nagy. Anybody ever heard of him?
I know Charles Nagy. Remember Charles Nagy,
yeah,
the old Indians pitcher?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. High ERA, high whip, though. I didn't mess with him in fantasy, but he won games.
Yeah, his pivot wasn't very good. He didn't have a good move to first.
So Matt Nagy called plays for the Chiefs for 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 0 points in the second half of a playoff game at home against the Titans.
Yeah.
And he goes to be the head coach of the Bears. And then the Bears hire Mark Helfrich. The nerdy, I don't know, I'm in over my head as a... Mark Helfrich, mm-hmm, and his fidgety with the Motorola little speaker there on his headset. Okay, let's go now to the Panthers. The Panthers are reportedly finalizing a deal with the dusty Norv Turner,
wow,
to be their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Let's take it a step further. The Arizona Cardinals just lost Bruce Arians as head coach. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, who's been in the league forever,
mm-hmm,
is now maybe going to be the head coach of the Cardinals. Pat Shurmur's done a great job as the Vikings OC. Should he be a head coach in the NFL?
This year, maybe more than any. Remember, normally you go into an offseason, you go, all right, there's 3 hot assistants. You go, they're sizzly. Like, they're going to get a job. Dan Quinn was a hot assistant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's guys that are just, you knew they were getting a job. Back in the day, it was Eric Mangini, and it was Romeo Crennel. Those worked out really well, by the way. This year, it doesn't seem to be any buzz. It's Matt, Patricia, and who?
The point I'm making, and I've got one more. The Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
The headless, ownerless Indianapolis Colts. I know they have an owner, but I think he's terrible at his job. They have interviewed Baylor head coach Matt Rhule, who won 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think you all are understanding what I'm saying here. The Colts, an NFL team, have interviewed a 1-win college head coach for their head coaching job. And you just want Steve Sarkisian to just run right out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Would you even want Matt Rhule as your quality control guy on Dan Quinn's staff?
No.
I'm just saying, these are very uninspiring guys. And we're talking about head coach.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about offensive coordinator. We're talking about head coach. So hopefully that helps some of you out to understand the landscape of coaching and the movement and what's going on here. Okay? Based on what I just told you, Steve Sarkisian might get interviewed as a head coach. I'm just saying. So he probably won't. But Matt Nagy? Really? Matt Rhule? Really? Do you want to win? Or are you tanking? Are you telling us that you're tanking? Matt Rhule?
I got a little intel.
He won 1 game.
Got a little intel from Mike Conte, who apparently Andy Bunker last night. We know Andy's got ties to the Pacific Northwest. Apparently Andy talked to the guy that broke the story about Tom Cable being fired in Seattle. And basically that guy told Andy that there is zero merit to Steve Sarkisian going up there.
Because
zero.
That's your boy, Jason Lockenfora. That's where it all came from. Lockenfora of CBS started this rumor of Sark going to Seattle.
Can we call him Lockham Boring?
I think he's look, Falcoholic does a great job of detailing what he's been right about and what he's been wrong about. He's been way more wrong than he's been right about our birds.
I'm just glad he doesn't live down here. We don't have to deal with that guy every day.
I actually would love him to live down here because we might get a brawl between him and John.
No, I'm not. Again, me beating him up, there's certain guys you'd be like beating up Paul Feinbaum. I don't get points for that. I lose points. Lockenfora is the same way. Hey, let's give away a pair of tickets right now to see the Hawks and Spurs game on Monday, January the 15th. Tickets are available at AtlantaHawks.com. For all station contest rules, go to 929thegame.com/rules. Caller number 3, caller number 5, whatever. Caller number 3. Let's go with 3. 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. Caller number 3. We'll do that. From the Bible, coming up next, we've got research material. Oh, yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When people count us down and count us out.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Laughing with our guy Mike Conte. We love Mike Conte. Hopefully you all appreciate the journalistic integrity of one Mike Conte.
Because we have the same journalistic integrity.
Minus like 98%.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like we dabble with journalism here on the Midday Show with Rick and John.
You do. I can't spell journalism. J-U-R-N-A-L-I-S-M.
J-U-R.
I'm kidding. I know how to spell journalism.
I tried to get into the journalism school at the University of Minnesota back in the day, and they were like, there's a waiting list there. And I looked at the waiting list, John. I would still be waiting to get into the journalism school at the University of Minnesota. So I blazed my own trail, got an internship at a local TV station, became an announcer on the student-run radio station. I made it happen myself, John.
That's how you have to do. You have to put your foot in the ground and just plow forward. I've got a picture from Mark and Paul during the break that y'all are going to laugh at so hard. You've seen the picture already.
I've already seen it.
It's hilarious.
Let me just tease it like this. John Michaels is wearing a suit that formerly belonged to Brian Windhorst of ESPN.
And I was about 60 pounds lighter. Oh, it's awesome. Preacher Man, what do we have with From the Bible?
Well, as we know, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. So, From the Bible today, you know how we always like to stay up to date and refresh stories?
Yeah, we love to.
Well, Jen Selter, you know, the booty queen, was back in the garden last night, sitting near the side of the court to watch her quote-unquote friend, Porzingis, play the Bulls. Well, the New York Post caught up with her and her mother, and she gave them a little smile and insisted that they were just friends. However, her mother interjected, you never know. So there you go.
I have a picture of Jen Selter up right now. Early research material for sure. Follow her on Instagram. You'll be happy. She's in the Hall of Fame of butts. There's no question about it. If there were a Hall of Fame of butts, she would have a bust of her butt.
Well, she's
in the Hall
essentially
of Fame.
The one that started the whole butt deal.
What do you mean?
She's the one that, you know, basically started to use her butt to promote herself on Instagram, which therefore made a whole trend.
Really? I think I ought to try that. I ought to use my butt to promote myself.
None of us want to touch that, apparently. I don't know. I'm scrolling through the log of potential jokes, and I'm really kind of coming up with nothing.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So, the Browns
well,
had their...
bottom line, Porzingis is winning. This chick is hot.
So, the Browns had their 0-16 parade.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, it actually did some good, because the parade raised $17,157 for the Greater Cleveland Food Bank, which equates to 68,628 meals, according to their website. With perishable foods and donations, it rounded it out to about 70,000 meals will be provided thanks to the parade.
That's so awesome.
That is so. All of the losing by the Browns is feeding people in Cleveland. How about that?
I mean, you can say nothing negative about that. We kind of joked about the parade. What a joke it is to make a parade for 0-16. But when it goes to a great cause like that, hey, go 0-16 next year.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good to see that they turn a negative into a positive. I mean, the parade itself actually, you know, it got a sponsorship because it had a GoFundMe page by the gentleman that started it. And his Excedrin, you know, the medicine, they kicked in like $7,500.
Awesome.
Good for them.
Missed opportunity by the Detroit Lions a few years ago when they went 0-16, apparently. With your guy, Rob Marinelli, as head coach.
Whose guy?
Boy, you want to talk about, I'm just kidding. You want to talk about in over your head as a head coach? Holy crap.
It's him and it's Rich Kotite. Those are like the poster child.
Awful. Great pull with Rich Kotite.
Ray Rhodes got in over his head.
Yeah. Romeo Crennel in over his head as a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Frazier in over his head as a head coach. I could continue, but we've got more
Tony Sparano.
Good call.
In over his head. Hey guys, I've got on dark glasses because I had grease splatter in my eye a long time. That's actually a true story. He had grease splatter.
I guess I need to stop
eye.
Laughing then. Okay.
No, but he had to wear the shades on the sunlight. I'm going to kick another field goal, guys. And Mark's sick back there.
You're clearly
we continue with from the
Did you
Bible.
Get it? Did you get that frog? You okay?
Give me a big kiss. Give me another cocktail while you're at it.
Were you imitating Mike Bell right there? Perhaps. Anyway. Preacher Man, it's time to get Biblicious. Shout out to Chris for the Biblicious reference earlier in the show, by the way.
No doubt. I appreciate that. Lane Kiffin, he's at it on Twitter again. Kiffin believes his team belonged among the top 25 best, but poll voters thought otherwise, leaving FAU out of the final AP and coaches poll. FAU tweeted out by, UCF Sports Info. FAU has the second longest win streak in the country and dominated their bowl game. Surprised they didn't finish in the top 25.
Go Owls.
They finished 29th in the coaches' poll and 30th in the AP poll.
Go Owls.
Dude, that is a win for them. Should they have been in the top 25? Probably.
At
the back half of the season, do you really, like, truthfully, do you care who finished 21 through 25?
You don't, but let's break it down here real quick.
Okay.
All right, I have the let's do AP poll.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's just start at 20. Stanford at 9-5.
Okay.
Go Owls.
Would you put them or Florida Atlantic?
Stanford.
Florida Atlantic. FAU. I'm just going to go FAU. South Florida, 10-2.
South Florida.
Okay. Boise State, 11-3.
Boise.
Why?
11-3.
What was FAU's record, by the way? Would they have one loss or two losses?
Two, I believe. They lost to Wisconsin was one game, and they lost to somebody else.
All right, I'd ask you about NC
State. They're 11-3. They finished their record.
11-3.
11-3.
Okay, let's move on. They're 11-3. No, they don't belong in the top 25. Give me a break.
Lane Kiffin next year.
But they were 3-9 the year before.
Who wins?
Look, okay. It's an impressive turnaround. Okay, so just to complete it, South Florida 21, Boise State at 22, NC State at 23, Virginia Tech at 24.
I put them in over Virginia Tech. Get that crap out of there.
And Memphis at 25. I'm sorry, Lane. I don't believe that they should bump any of those teams out
for you. Yeah,
you
could swap them in Virginia Tech and we'd be okay.
Well, like Mark and I said, does anybody really care past the top 10 anyway?
No.
Yeah, because Miami finished 13th. I cared where they finished. That was about it.
Only because they finished there.
Where did Jim Harbaugh finish?
Who?
Jim Harbaugh.
Who?
Yeah. Michigan was,
not in the list.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're not on the list.
They didn't even make the top 25.
Nor should they.
No, I agree. But, John, are you a little bit butthurt? I literally have not looked at these rankings until now. Are you a little bit butthurt that Notre Dame's above Miami?
Notre Dame finishing two spots ahead of Miami is laughable. We beat them 41-8.
Like, that is insanity.
And they had three losses just like Miami had. So, whatever.
That's crazy.
Let's move on. College football doesn't come back for a while.
UCF,
unfortunately,
self-proclaimed national champions.
Uh-huh.
They put up a billboard. Mm-hmm. In Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to congratulate Bama on their win, I should say. And then they asked him about a home-and-home series.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Scott Frost is gone. Mackenzie Milton won't be far after. I know they lost one of their receivers to the draft. Alabama would have beaten the dog poo out of Central Florida. Blowout, like 38-3, 38-10. They would have mauled Central Florida.
I'm trying to come up with a reason. I don't know about 38-10, but it would have been a comfortable win.
Yeah.
Well, here it would have been a comfortable win. Alabama head coach Nick Saban did comment on the Knights claiming the title per USA Today Sports. He said, "I'm fine with their claim in parentheses. Doesn't mean anything to anybody but them."
Here's the thing. I also think they would more maul them moving forward. Like, right to this year's team would have been. It would have been okay, but you want
I think within a couple of touchdowns this year's team.
You want a home-and-home next year with Alabama? There's no chance you're in that game. None.
But for UCF, like, Alabama's the team with nothing to gain in that. But UCF definitely has something to gain. Like, if they lose a game to Alabama, you shrug your shoulders, you move on with the rest of your season. But if they would beat them, that'd be huge.
Preacher, man.
All right, moving on to research material. I know we're running out of time. This comes from Justin in Buford. He sent this in yesterday. Zuleika, it's Zuleyka.
Of course it is.
Silver.
So Silver is the last name.
Silver is the last name.
Okay.
That's from Justin in Buford. Zuleika. So thanks, Justin, for the...
Silver. All right.
On it.
Real quick, shout out somebody on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line.
Is she Prego? What's going on here?
She might be, but scroll past those
pictures.
She's
still hot.
Yeah. From the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line. Hey, John, can you give a shout-out to my team, Beast Squad, from the ASC Flag Football League? Know those guys well. We're playing in the national tournament this weekend in Sarasota, Florida. Safe travels to all the people traveling here in Atlanta, going down to Florida for the National Flag Football Championships.
No, I know Rick, our buddy that's Chris. Her friend. That's not her.
Yeah, our buddy Chris, our boy who was at a bunch of different events with us. He is going with his team, the Outsiders. I know the Young Bloods are going, Shockwave, all those other teams. I kind of miss that I'm going. John Michael's not on the road.
So I'm a talent evaluator, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's sports, whether it's women. Way too many clothes on in these pictures, okay? Way too many clothes.
We take a break. We come back. Matt Ryan had all the clothes on he needed. It was called practice attire. He was back. Are you guys worried about the Falcon distractions from the week? We'll talk about that next. And the latest on the Seattle OC search. It's not Sark on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
Dumb thieves. And this is a weird similarity to my car getting broken into yesterday.
92.9. The Game.
All right,
really,
we're back.
What we try to do is we don't rely... or try not to rely on anybody outside our walls in terms of any motivation that we need to do. And that would include all the members in this room. So I want to make sure that our responsibility is to the men getting ready, Tiff. And that part, we don't rely on the outside now. We're underdog or what have you. So it really comes down to us getting ready.
That's Dan Quinn. Ah, sorry, DQ. Kind of jumped you there a little bit. Mark Owens is getting in my ear going, I just told you to hang out. But as he was telling me to hang on,
shut your pipes. That's when I was grabbing. Step on DQ.
That's when I was grabbing my iPhone earbuds to put them in. I missed the cue. But DQ, we appreciate that sound. And John and I have been talking a little bit about that. Of course, this is a historic point spread in the NFL playoffs. First time ever that a number one seed in a conference has been the underdog in the first game that they have played. You can say it another way. You can say a six has never been favored over a one. That is true, too. But never, ever, ever has a number one seed been an underdog in their first playoff game. So there may have been a situation where a number one overall seed moved on to the NFC Championship game and then was an underdog.
Right.
But in their first playoff game, they've never been an underdog until now. And Dan Quinn was talking about that right there and basically saying, we don't need you guys. We don't need Vegas. We don't need odds makers or bettors to give us motivation.
Mm-hmm.
John, all the motivation that they need is 28-3.
Yeah.
That's all the motivation that they need. Right the wrongs of last year, get redemption. Oh, by the way, one of the things that fueled us in the offseason, John, was all of the teams recently in baseball, football, basketball that have redeemed themselves the very next year. From the Cavaliers to the Warriors to Clemson.
To the Cubs.
Alabama. Hello. Alabama was on a redemption tour all year.
They were.
And they got it done. Now, next year, Georgia will be on that redemption tour. John mentioned the Cubs clearly on a redemption tour. And you say, well, no, the year before they lost in the NLCS to the Mets, if I'm correct about that.
Was it to the Mets?
I'm pretty sure that was when the Mets went to the World Series. They beat the Cubs. And then the next year the Cubs come back and they win it all. So it's all about redemption stories in sports. Think about it. Villanova with the Chris Jenkins shot, buzzkills North Carolina.
Yep.
North Carolina comes back and they get the championship on a redemption tip. So that's there for our Falcons. Next year it'll be there for our Dogs.
Yeah, it's a scenario that I like. I never buy into teams, and I know Philadelphia, they were talking about potentially, oh, they're looking at the point spread and they feel disrespect. I highly doubt that any one of the 53 guys on the Eagles roster is looking and going, dude, they disrespected us. Vegas has us as a 2.5-point underdog to the Falcons.
I'm going to disagree with you a little
bit.
You
think so?
Yeah, I don't think the whole locker room is chattering about it, John, but I believe that there are probably a couple of the 53 that are butthurt about it. You know how competitive these guys are, and some of them pay attention. So I basically agree with you, and it shouldn't be a big deal, but I bet you there are a couple of players that are butthurt about that.
Well, real quick, before we get back to the conversation of are you worried about any of the distractions this week, here's an update on potentially who Seattle is looking at their offensive coordinator. And the reason we're bringing up distractions, Steve Sarkisian's name had been thrown around. Dan Quinn said 0% chance that Sark was going to leave. Andy Bunker had some information from out there. Apparently, he talked about on his show last night, saying that that was nonsense. Sark's not going anywhere. Well, according to some of the buzz that's out today, Colts quarterback coach, your guy, and I know Paul loves this dude as well, Brian Schottenheimer, expected to interview for Seattle's OC job. Brian Schottenheimer.
Sorry, Carl Dukes. I just puked all over the station here in the Kia Studios. Brian Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. Wasn't he one and done as the Dogs offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that did not work out very well for Georgia fans.
M.O., what's your favorite memory? M.O., come on over here. M.O. Yo, M.O.
Hey, Mark. You over there? You hear us?
Oh, my God. We're live on the air for crying out loud.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Mark.
What was your favorite, M.O., what was your favorite?
And
by the way, it's not Mark Owen's fault. It's Sean Thompson's fault because Sean's back talking to him. Sean, love you, man. But what was your favorite memory of the Brian Schottenheimer era in Athens? Do you even remember?
Mark looks like somebody just gave him a raw tomato to eat.
God, I'm feeling like I'm trying to figure out Pat Benatar's name all of a sudden.
Wow. I believe it was, wasn't it Mark Richt's last year or second to last year? He had Brian Schottenheimer as his offensive coordinator.
Wasn't that the year
Because everyone made the joke that was a shoddy play.
Wasn't that the year, though, decision. That Grayson Lambert completed like 27 of 28 passes against South Carolina?
That was also when we threw him Fatan Bauta against Florida.
That was all the same year. Is that 2015?
I think it was.
Or 2014?
That
was 2014.
Yeah, that was 14.
Yeah,
Because Lambert came back in 15, and that's when Mark Richt got the.
It's got to be one good one.
Yeah, if he was the OC that year against South Carolina, you broke an SEC passing record with Brian Schottenheimer, woo, as your offensive coordinator.
That's right, because Grayson Lambert, yeah, came in, and he was everybody's favorite quarterback for one game.
Except me.
How quickly the tide changes in college football. You went from Brian Schottenheimer and Grayson Lambert to Jim Chaney or to Fatan Bauta.
To Fatan Bauta and Mel Tucker and Jim Chaney and now and Fields.
To go back to our earlier conversation, would Fatan Bauta be on the matter or don't matter ledger?
Oh, definitely the don't matter.
He mattered. Why? Because he's a household name. Now, did he matter in the help that he got us to where our goals and expectations should be? No, but he's a name that everybody knows.
You know what sucks is that I was so done with Georgia's current quarterbacks, I was actually in favor of the Fatan Bauta move just because I wanted something, anything different than what we were getting.
Georgia fans were in favor of that move just to beat Florida, whatever it took.
It must have been 2015. I think Squid just texted me.
Yeah, I got it right here. Schottenheimer, Georgia's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach in 2015. One and done.
Because that was the year that Richt got fired after he did the Fatan Bauta nonsense.
And Hudson Mason was 2014.
Yep.
It was Hudson Mason, and then it was Grayson Lambert. So 2 years as Indy's quarterbacks coach.
It's a big, painful blur up until this year. It's just been a tough, painful blur. So,
And it was only, John, it was 2015, and homie can't even remember Brian Schottenheimer. It was kind of a high-profile hire at the time,
Is that the guy that you try to forget about the most, Brian Schottenheimer?
No.
Or was it Willie Martinez? Now he has indigestion.
I got to say shoddy, because the whole team was just crumbling at that time.
It really was.
And you could tell, you could see the frustration on Rick's face, and something had to give.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew it was going to be somebody. We're going through the quarterback roulette. Nobody's getting along. The fans are getting frustrated.
Here's what's lame. And we'll talk Falcons here in a second, but so Bobo goes to Colorado State.
Right.
Your play caller. Richt used to be the play caller. All right, let's let Bobo do it, and then Bobo leaves. Duh, the automatic decision, John, is to just go back to calling plays yourself.
Yeah, I don't think he had that decision.
Me?
I think somebody above him said, no, we're hiring an OC.
I don't know. I think Mark Richt checked out.
The funny thing is, this was when I was in my infancy here at 92.9 The Game, and I was working like 3 a.m. till end of game or end of game to 3 a.m., which was fine. I had a job, and I was working. I remember Georgia fans telling me, you don't know what you're – Brian Schottenheimer's going to be great. He was an NFL OC. All right, have fun with that. Brian Schottenheimer has stunk anywhere that he's gone. He goes to Seattle. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm going, can you trade me? I want out of here right now.
Well, if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm just like, fine, bring him in. I'm just going to audible at the line.
Mm-hmm.
You can call that play.
Yeah, we're going to do the scramble
play. I'm Russell Wilson, okay? I'm bigger than you. I matter more here than you. I'm an audible at the line of scrimmage.
You know what it was, if you ask me? Actually, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Todd Grantham. That was a tough – it was hard to get behind him because he brought an NFL playbook to a bunch of college kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to put the NFL style into these guys who have had the same playbook for 3 years. He comes in, wants to change everything up. And he was a fiery – the funny thing is I met Todd Grantham a couple of times. He was a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, who was the wrestler when the bell rang? He went, roar, Jesse and Festus.
Yeah, Festus.
Yeah, it was the same way. When the bell rang, he lost his mind.
Isn't that Luke Gallows now? Festus, yeah. The club's back, by the way. Not the Bullet Club, because that would be illegal, but the club is back. You're wondering how we got to the 6 degrees of separation to start talking about Todd Grantham and Willie Martinez and Grayson Lambert. That's because Brian Schottenheimer, now rumored to be a guy that's going to be interviewed by the Seahawks, and that means Steve Sarkisian will be left alone.
Until somebody else maybe thinks, and really, John, I think that this is bad reporting by Jason Lockenfora. That's what I think this is. I don't think it's a fully vetted story by him. I think he heard something from somebody about something and ran with it. Because Jason Lockenfora has not been in the news here for a minute. You know how these guys operate. They throw stuff against the wall and some of it sticks and most of it doesn't. So I think this is more about bad reporting. John, you and I chide Jason Lockenfora all the time.
Yes, we do.
All the time. And it's not because we don't like how he looks or anything like that. It's because we don't trust the guy. I don't trust Ian Rappaport. Okay? I don't trust these. You know who I trust? Adam Schefter. You know who I trust? Adrian Wojnarowski. You know who I trust? D. Orlando Ledbetter. Like, these are legitimate journalists. They're not just throwing crap against the wall.
Good text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Too much sports talk. I thought this was a lawn equipment radio station.
Taking us back to the 10 o'clock hour. Yeah. It's so funny, too, how anyway, man, we're paid to talk sports, but we're knuckleheads. Yeah. It stuff happens. Stuff squirts out of us.
What?
I mean, like audibly.
Yeah, it was
verbally
coming out of me on both ends earlier on this week. I sent my wife that picture, the picture of me from a buddy's wedding in 2004. Her response: never shave your beard or pose like that again in your life.
He's kind of got like the arms crossed, like tough guy pose, like when a linebacker like crushes a running back and he kind of stands over him with the arms crossed pose. Like, that's what Shawn Michaels has in this picture.
You know what I look like? I look like a Color Me Bad reject.
See, I was just gonna interject that you look like the Color Me Bad reject.
The problem was back then, I don't think anybody wanted to sex me up. I mean, I'm just saying.
John, where is this coming from? I thought you were this unbridled, confident shot shooter.
No, No. Trust me. When you look back and you go, how did that guy have any success? I had plenty of success. Trust me. I thought that looked good that day. I look at it now. My suit, that suit literally would have fit Brian Windhorst. And I was 40 pounds lighter than I am right now.
I'm guessing that maybe you were like me. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not a face god either. Thank God they put me on TV. I'm not a face god, but my rap was always stronger than my appearance. Would you say the same of yourself?
No, my appearance was equal to my rap.
You just dissed your appearance, though.
Yeah, 15 years later. I mean, if we go back and look at pictures from the 90s and I was wearing cross colors or some Zubaz, I looked like an idiot. But back then, everybody else looked like an equal idiot. I also go back and look at pictures from like 2006 where the big baggy clothes were in style and I had a 4XL t-shirt on. How was that working? But it did.
Such a bad look. I mean,
what's the worst look you ever feel you cultivated?
Oh, man. You're hitting me here.
Did you ever do like the tie-dye look with the dead?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't consider that a bad look, though.
You know what you look like in that picture? You look like Chris Cross's creepy old manager. The guy that stands on the side stage, you're like, they're my boys.
Who was the guy that used to manage Riddick Bowe? Do you remember that?
I wish we could get Mark on camera doing that. He started bobbing his head after that. You're my boys.
We might have to get Sean Thompson to come in for a second. Who was the white guy that used to manage Riddick Bowe? It was like Rock something. Look up that dude. I kind of looked like that guy.
Sean would know.
Yeah, really bad.
He's an encyclopedia for hip hop and boxing.
I would put this picture up, but it ain't happening.
Hilarious, man. Hilarious.
Rock Newman,
that's the guy.
I've actually heard of Rock Newman.
Yeah, he was Riddick Bowe's manager for a while. Kind of weird looking little dumpy guy.
We're Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9.
You know what I hope is happening right now? Remember last year when the Boston radio station trolled us? I don't need those clowns to troll us again. One station's not family, so we don't care about them anymore. I hope that for our sake right now, they're playing us in Philadelphia on WIP. Because you know how, like, steadfast. They're breaking down Josh Harris snapping the football right now. They're breaking down the fact that, you know, that Ty Sambrello might be eligible for a pass, and we're breaking down my picture of looking like a Color Me Bad reject.
And to everybody listening in Philly, it's a good indication of how relaxed we are here in Atlanta, because our Falcons are going to beat your Eagles. Mm-hmm. It's just going to go down that way. It's a promise.
It is. The text and the picture are hilarious.
It's good. Have we put that picture up?
No.
At Rick and John 929?
Nope.
What do you mean?
No.
That's... We can't talk about an old picture of you for 15 damn minutes live on the radio and then not put the picture out.
All right,
it's not like you have man parts sticking out. It's just a funny old picture of you.
I'm going to crop my friends out, like at least crop their faces out.
But we got to put that picture up. Preacher, okay, man, you agree?
Let me do a little editing.
We're an open book on this show. You can't, you can't just decide what you're going to edit and not put out there anymore.
Yeah, and you can't walk around the bullpen going, guys, look at this picture. How funny am I? And then not show everybody else.
I can.
He literally stole Brian Windhorst's suit for the shot.
I'm looking down at, like, the stomach area. I wasn't this fat back then, yet the suit, I could probably fit this suit pretty well right now.
Where did you get that suit? JCPenney?
No, probably.
Some suit store down by Georgia State.
No, actually the ones right there off Ellsworth Industrial off Howell Mill. One of the ones where I think the three of us got our suit combined for $100.
I was just going to say, was it wrapped in cellophane?
I'm almost 100% positive the pants. I don't even know that I have the right pants to match. I think I just had a pair of my pants. Take a break. We'll come back. Hey, Charles Davis was on with Dukes and Bell. You'll hear what he had to say about our Falcons next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Or try not to rely on anybody outside our walls in terms of any motivation that we need to do. And that would include all the members in this room. So I want to make sure that our responsibility is to the men getting ready, Tiff. And that part, we don't rely on the outside now. We're underdog or what have you. So it really comes down to us getting ready.
That's Dan Quinn and talking about the point spread and about how Philadelphia purportedly is getting motivation from the slight from Vegas and DQ pouring a bunch of water on that. That ain't impacting this game in one single bit. I did like the little heads up to the media here in Atlanta. You can try to stoke me. You can try to poke me, but you will not motivate me. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear some Charles Davis cuts. The great Charles Davis was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. But first, some house cleaning.
Uh-huh.
Is the picture of John Michaels in an ill-fitting suit. Yeah. Really, you know, you've got Chris Farley back in the day, fat guy in a little coat. Uh-huh. This is skinny guy in a fat-ass coat.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. I was trying to take the baggy look and just take it to my suit, and it's overly ridiculous. And then I have no facial hair, so if you want to see what my fat face looks like with little to no facial hair, which, again, my wife said you will never, ever shave your beard again. Like, that's never happening.
Which of your buddies still had the label on his suit? You know, the little label down on your wrist, down by the, you know, down by your hand, down by the cuff?
The guy who was getting married, Jamal, he still had the price tag on his suit.
He just tucked the price tag in with the little with the little sticker back there?
Yeah, let's just say that marriage didn't work out so well anyway. We kind of knew they were doomed pretty quickly.
Really?
No, you know what? We didn't know they were doomed quickly. We just knew there was a philosophical difference between families is probably the best way you could put it.
Preacher man, if you leave that little tag on the outside of your suit right down there by your wrist, it is a clear sign. It's not a sign that you were absent-minded and didn't notice it. It's a sign that that's a one-off with that suit and you're taking it back.
I actually forgot to take that stupid thing off New Year's Eve on that shiny suit.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. It was. I bought it. We had to, and I still have the suit. I already told Wes and Arch. Wait, go to the Super Bowl.
Huh? That was a suit, not just a jacket?
No, it's just a jacket. Oh, I wish God. It was a full suit.
Oh, no.
Oh, been pants to match, velvet shiny pants, I'd have started a fire in the club.
How many other white guys on planet Earth could have pulled off that jacket on New Year's Eve?
A lot of people. People could have rocked that.
Leechinger of Color Me Bad.
John Michaels.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's actually talk some sports.
Do we have to?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay, let's do that.
Kind of, sort of, to please the masses. Mm-hmm. All right, we're Rick and John here.
Meetings.
On the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Charles Davis, we've had him on. Great guy. Love him. He's one of the top analysts in all of football, college, and pro. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and they asked him why people keep saying that the Philadelphia Eagles are disrespected.
Everybody in the country. Have you taken a good look and listen? I mean, everybody is. Odds makers have Atlanta as the favorite going into the game. When people talk about the Eagles now, they don't talk about the season they had. They talk about what could have been because of Carson Wentz's injury. Plus, the last three games they played with Nick Foles at the helm weren't exactly what you would call super impressive. You know, they beat the Giants, who were miserable on defense down the stretch, especially after Landon Collins went out of the secondary. And he put four touchdowns on them. But truthfully, a lot of people should have been able to do that down the stretch with them. They struggled at home. On that, I think it was a Sunday night or Monday nighter with Oakland, mm-hmm. found a way to win that one. And then in a game that, quote-unquote, didn't mean anything, you can't draw too many conclusions, but you got to get Nick Foles some time. And they struggled moving the ball on offense, and Dallas ended up beating them. The biggest reason that they're being disrespected is not all the things that you listed, because the defense is respected, although they struggled a little bit down the stretch with that as well. But the biggest reason is the last 15 third downs that Philadelphia has run with Nick Foles under center, they're 0 for 15.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that is huge.
He has not converted 15 consecutive third downs. Shocking. if I'm an Eagles fan, man, I'm bracing. And so John and I have been breaking this down all week. And now you add that stat to the ointment. And it gives me even more confidence. And again, we documented the three games that Foles has played, and Charles Davis did a great job of it as well. Mm-hmm. His play has decreased with each passing game. Me and DJ CCV were talking out in the bullpen. And John, you've heard me say this to the air. Many of the listeners have as well. There are starting quarterbacks. There are bad starting quarterbacks. There are good backup quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and there are lousy backup quarterbacks. Nick Foles is in the good backup quarterback group. What that means is that you can be a Band-Aid. Your starting quarterback's hurt for a month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You can go 2-1, 2-2, keep the thing afloat. But if the starter ain't coming back mm-hmm. and it's just on you, that's advantage other team. So to the guy who's worried about the anxiety I'm causing him, you know, with all the shade I'm throwing on Nick Foles, that's why. He's not a starting quarterback. And we are going on the road to play a backup quarterback, and I like our chances.
Remember when we got ready to play Case Keenum? You know, we were all going, when's the other shoe going to drop with Case Keenum? And this year it hasn't. For whatever reason, Case Keenum is playing like he did at Houston, you know, where he was one of the best passing quarterbacks in the history of the NCAA. With guys like Nick Foles, typically the team around you rallies. And they go, all right, Carson Wentz is out. We're going to play better defense. We'll run better. Maybe the offensive line blocks just a tick better. And it makes it easy for Nick Foles or whomever the backup quarterback is to go out there and make some plays. But eventually the backup quarterback turns back into the guy that is the reason he's a backup quarterback. Nick Foles had a great year under Chip Kelly. We've chronicled it. It was like 25-2.
27-2.
27-2 touchdown interception ratio. But after that, Nick Foles went back to being Nick Foles. He just wasn't a good quarterback. Could he get hot against the Falcons? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it because he is a guy that, you know, has ability to go on stretches and make plays. Do I trust in a playoff game? And as I continue to look at the weather, it looks like it's getting colder and colder there. As I continue to look at that, do you trust it in a pressure situation where every snap is, you know, upticked, you know, to the nth degree? Everything is so finite and so important that's going to be the guy that's going to make plays in a playoff game? I just don't.
I don't either.
As a quarterback for the Eagles this year, 0 for his last 15. Now, some of that will take into account the Dallas game that, quote-unquote, didn't mean anything. But they were playing him for a reason. He needed the experience and the reps.
Right.
Okay? Otherwise, you don't play him at all, right? But they had to get him out there because things had not been going that well. But 0 for their last 15 on third down. So if I am Doug Peterson head coach, Frank Reich offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo quarterbacks coach, who've done such a great job with Carson Wentz, my scheming all week in my game planning, what am I going to do to get a fast start for Nick Foles, get him comfortable, get some points on the board so everyone feels a little bit more confident, and get my defense to relax a little? Because right now, I would guarantee you, their defense has had a private meeting that said, guys, this is on us. Because our offense is really struggling right now.
They don't respect us.
Because of Nick Foles' inability to throw the ball well right now.
Right.
Now, if he gets hot, that's cool. But otherwise, it could be a real slam-bam, slug-it-out type of a game. And that defense for Philadelphia, they're going to take on additional pressure, even though they're the number one run defense in the league.
So to go to what Charles Davis just said there, how do you get your quarterback off to a good start? A, you have to be able to run the football, and that means Ajayi and Blunt and Smallwood and all those different guys getting the football for them. Secondly, screens and quick throws. Screens to the back where, you know, the three count screen or the quick swing screen, either way, screens to the receivers as well. Throws that give him confidence. You know, if it's, okay, the Falcons, you read the defense, they're in cover three, and you know you can get a quick out route because the corner's bailing and the underneath coverage can't get underneath it, and that's a throw that you feel comfortable that Nick Foles will make. You probably see some of that stuff early on. And, yeah, their defense does feel the pressure. They realize Falcons get to 20, this game is over.
And I love what you said. I love what Charles said. The defense, look, that is the strongest part of the Eagles right now. They are going to have to get this job done. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they will. Let's hear one more cut from Charles Davis. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and they asked him, can the Eagles really shut down the Falcons' running game?
Yeah, and here's where I think it's going to come down to. that wide dime defense that everyone, you know, you look at it, it looks pretty inviting to run the ball, doesn't it? When you see them line up, it looks like, okay, there's a gap here, there's a gap here. It's a much harder eight-man box than it appears before the ball is snapped. Jim Schwartz does an excellent job of scheming that. But where has Atlanta had their, if you want to call it challenges this year, that's probably the best word on the offensive line. It's probably been at the guards.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And now the Ben Garland's at left, and luckily he's played a lot lately. At right guard's been Wes Schweitzer, who won the job in preseason, but that's where the struggles were. Who are they having to block in normal situations? Tim Jernigan, Fletcher Cox. That's a big dish. That's a big issue right there. So Atlanta's got to figure out what they're going to do with that.
That's a great point. Hey, before we let you go, I do want to ask you, since you're a Tennessee man,
yes.
What do you think about the Pruitt hire, man?
I don't know him. I mean, I'll just be frank about it. Let me rephrase. I know him, of course. I know who he is. I know his background, the whole deal. This is going to be one of the most arrogant things I've ever said, and I hope that people will take in the spirit it's intended. As much as I've done in this game and as much as I've been around it, typically I know people, right?
Yeah.
I've never met Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay.
And so that's all I am is a optimistic Tennessee fan wishing him the best, and I will do what I can to help him out. That's all I can tell you. Hopefully I'll get a chance to meet him before long. And
well, to go back to what he said about the Falcons, you're going to have to find a way. We've been talking about it. Cox and Jernigan, two huge guys up front. That means Schweitzer. That means Mack. That means Garland. That probably means Derek Coleman sometimes picking up a guy that gets free. Hey, this hour's code word that could send you to the night before with Dave Matthews Band in Minneapolis is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.